Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan, Dollhouse, Columbus, Ohio. Shooting, injured dancers. Details later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I speak about the press and social media's effect on policing in America. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
How many times can one Florida woman get lost in a storm drain system? So far, we're up to three. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Consumer alert. Walmart. Vitamins. Later, people at Walmart. Sterling at night.
I'm worked up again. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll tell you why I'm steamed later on Sterling on Sunday.
Things are upside down in the Gaffney household here in Delaware. Becky's caring for her dying father. And we'll give you a little update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
You know, it's at times like this that a professional talk show host does a monologue. They do their monologue at the beginning of the show where they go over their deep thoughts for the week or whatever deep thoughts their intern wrote down for them. Or if they're Greg Gutfeld, that TV show he does on Fox late at night, which is a terrific show, not because it's conservative, but because he's funny. Do you know that most of the stuff he says is written by that woman, that very funny, skinny woman, Kat Timpf? She writes most of the show. That's really what her job is to write the show. And therefore, his monologues are often brilliant and clever, and it's mostly her. But I don't want to do a monologue. I find it to be old-fashioned talk radio. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. I find it to be old-fashioned talk radio, where the host bloviates for 20 minutes and then plays some audio, and then plays very long commercials, and then bloviates some more. What I'd rather do is have you bloviate. If you were a talk show host, and thank God you are, if you were a talk show host, what would you like to talk about tonight? What would your monologue sound like? I will let you have 90 seconds to do your monologue at 888-688-9258. This is a live radio show. Pick up the phone. Right now, as I said that, there was something that hit your brain where you said, boy, I would talk about this. Whatever it is, especially if you think it's not a big deal, I promise you it's a big deal. One of the things you and I know is that most shows like this completely miss what the big deals are. 888-688-9258. Daniel, watch that screen. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. What would you talk about if you were in this horrible position I'm in? What would you talk about? What would your 90-second monologue be? What would that be? This is how you get good radio, not this bloviating. That balloon. Oh, my gosh. All these people are talking about that balloon. What I don't understand, what puzzles me, is it seems to me a laser pointer could bring down a balloon. Right? A laser pointer could bring down that balloon. And all the nonsense about it was lost, that it got lost. It wasn't lost. It had a perfect path, a perfect reverse S path from Alaska to Canada to the middle of the United States. It was a steerable, controllable balloon. It wasn't lost. It wasn't out of control. It was well-controlled, and the flight path that it took made perfect sense. And the fact that it was tolerated beyond the border of Alaska, as every other talk show host in America is going to scream about, how could this have gone on? How could this have gone on? Well, you know what? If you don't know what's in that balloon, you're going to be reticent to explode it because you don't know what's going to fall to the earth. I'm going to say something horrible, which is I think that the president was right to wait until it was over open water. He was right to do that because that tells me he didn't know what was in it. If he had military intelligence that told him what was in it and they said there's nothing in it, it's just a balloon, he would have taken it down over Montana. 888-688-9258. What would you like to talk about? You're a talk show host. You're at the beginning of your show. It's monologue time. For 90 seconds, what would you talk about? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. The best 90 seconds will win a prize announcement. There's no other show that gives out prize announcements, but we do. Now, I've got a big show tonight because we're going to listen to Ashley Benson discuss puberty. There couldn't be anything better than Ashley Benson talking about puberty. Plus, you and I are going to discuss all of the things that are top of mind. Whatever is top of mind with you, that's what we're going to talk about. Usually, whatever is top of mind with me, Walter M. Sterling, is the fact that, yes, my engine light is on, and it's never going to go off. The other thing that's top of mind with me at 888-688-9258 is that right now, at this moment, although across most of North America it is 40 degrees, which is balmy, it's 65 right now in Bermuda. 65 in Bermuda. Bermuda has done the worst job imaginable of any country to be a tourist destination. They are terrible at it. Because when I say Bermuda, if you've never been there, you think of the Caribbean. That's what you think of. And that's far away and weird. It's not in the Caribbean. It's 90 minutes off the coast of North Carolina. Off the coast of North Carolina. And get this. The natives make you feel bad that you don't have more money. There's no poverty in Bermuda. It's unbelievable. There's no poverty. You go there, you look, nothing to make you feel guilty. The sand is really pink. They use American money, and you can hear 1010 Winds in Bermuda. You can hear American New York City radio in Bermuda. And every time I look at the temperature in Bermuda, which right now is 65, I'm like, why am I not in Bermuda? But that's okay. It's almost 80 in Miami. But why am I not in Miami? Those are the top of mind concerns that I have. Those are the things I worry about. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. If you had this talk show, what would your 90 seconds at the beginning of the show sound like? What would you talk about tonight? Because I listen to the bloviating of other hosts. I'm like, he's going to talk 20 minutes about that? Why would they do that? 888-688-9258. Jim, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
How are you, sir?
Well, I'm very excited to be speaking to you, as you can imagine.
All right, here's my thing. Years ago, we did an embargo against Cuba when Fidel Castro took over, correct?
Ruined our life because we couldn't get the cigars.
Right. Now, why don't we do an embargo against China? Especially after the balloon thing. Have we ever did an embargo against another country?
Other than Cuba?
Right.
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Gordon Chang, who lived in China for 29 years, but grew up in New Jersey and is the big expert on China. He happens to be Chinese, but he's the big expert on China. Gordon Chang. Gordon Chang says this about the balloon. And thank you for your monologue, Jim. Thank you. 888-688-9258. Gordon Chang says this. He says, we should shut all of their embassies in the United States. I think there are 9. We should send everybody who works at the embassy home except for the ambassador. and we should put horrendous tariffs on everything that they sell. That's, he said, and that's just the beginning. If they ever do anything like this again. Now, he lived in China for 29 years. He is Chinese. But more importantly, he went to Columbia High School in South Orange, New Jersey. And Gordon Chang was on the very first Ultimate Frisbee team. What would your monologue be tonight? What would you talk about? Claudine, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hi, Walter Sterling. It's Claudine from Fishtown.
Yes.
I would talk about Valentine's Day.
Now, do you have a Valentine, Claudine?
No. I have a few of them. George Mathis from Thunderbird and Dallas, a drummer. But they're 30 years, 40 years old, and I'm 73. So it's never going to, I'm going to have a broken heart.
Now, Claudine, do you give Valentine? Would you send them Valentine's gifts, those two people who you have a crush on?
Oh,
would
sure.
you send them gifts? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Last year I sent them the edible arrangements. They have a nice Valentine. You can send them with chocolate-covered strawberries and chocolate-covered or pineapple and melon. Yeah, edible arrangements. I sent two of them.
Claudine, I've always been worried about the edible arrangements. I fear that they are not sanitary. Am I crazy?
Yes, you're nuts.
Thank you.
Is your father Howard Stern?
No, my father's not Howard Stern. The math on that would not work out. No.
You sound exactly like him. I just thought one time I called, but I didn't get an answer. But you're not irreverent like he was. Edible arrangements is pretty safe. They deliver it. They take a picture of you with it, the whole edible arrangement, to prove that you got it, and it's very clean. It's all on straws coming up.
No, I've seen them, Claudine, and thank you very much for the call. What worries me about the edible arrangements is I'm sure that when they arrange them, that they're sanitary and clean, but between the arrangement and my home, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on there. What are you thinking about? Top of mind right now. That's what I want to hear at 888-688-9258. You get to talk to Daniel, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please go away from me.
Helpful hint, guys. When you go to the Exotic Dancing Emporium, the gals only play like they like you because they want your money. This has been a lesson not learned before this moment for a feller named Travis Ingram of Canton, Ohio, at the Dollhouse. Lots of beverages consumed, and a brouhaha breaks out at about 2:15 in the morning, and there was a shootout. From all it can be said is that one gentleman, the 21-year-old, was interested in a dancer. A couple of the guys step in, say, yeah, not that much. He pulls out his gun, starts shooting. 37-year-old Charles T. Smith died as a hero, protecting those dancers. Two of the dancers, a 23-year-old and a 24-year-old, shot, taken to a local hospital. Stable condition. A fourth victim had a graze wound, treated at the scene and released after questioning from investigators. The fatal shooting at the Dollhouse is the second shooting at that location in about 4 months. Here's the deal, gang. Go in, watch the lovely ladies do their thing. Have a beverage, perhaps two. But know this, it'll make your evening much better, less likely to shoot somebody or get shot. They're not coming home with you. They'll give you a lap dance in the champagne room, but they're not going home with you. A man died for being a good Samaritan, trying to protect those lovely ladies. To him, I salute, as we all should do. From the champagne room, this is Vila Hool for Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
Oh my gosh, 888-688-9258. It's your show. That's right, it's your show. Imagine you get to do the monologue at the beginning of one of these shows. Now, I can promise you what the monologue's going to be on most of the talk shows tomorrow. and it's nothing that anybody really cares about. There's going to be a lot of bloviating about the balloon over Montana. The balloon, why wasn't it shot down before? Whatever time you imagine it should have been shot down, that's the outrage that you will hear. And the other thing you'll hear is about the Memphis police station. What's going on in the Memphis police? There's now a federal probe of the Memphis Police Department. And again, this has nothing to do with your check engine light. Jim in Jersey, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
I don't know. I just really feel that Biden missed his call. I think he should have been a clown in the circus.
Well, what circus would have him? He's not funny. He doesn't look funny. To be a clown, you have to have tremendous skills. Does he have any skills at all?
How can we be proud as Americans with this guy running our country? It's ridiculous.
Because millions and millions and millions of people voted for him because that's the system. What I couldn't get over, and you're going to not get over again, the last election or the one coming up, is the Democratic Party couldn't come up with anybody better. And guess what? In the next election, they're not going to come up with anybody better.
Not just that, but the vice president was the least voted for person in the primaries. And it's just ridiculous what's going on in this country. You can't be a proud American.
Jim, where in Jersey do you live?
Well, I actually live in Fenwick Island, Delaware.
What's that?
I'm in Jersey right now. I got a Jersey phone number. But you know what? I'm just sick and tired of what's going on. And you know what? The Bidens make the mafia look like, they look like pawns compared to the Bidens.
Thank you for the call, Jim. I appreciate the call at 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. You do the monologue tonight. Because I hear these hosts, and I'm like, you know, I don't think anybody cares about that stuff. I want to hear about what you care about, not prepackaged radio talk show host topics, not that. I want to hear about what you care about, because here's what I care about, that it costs too much to fix my car. There's water in the basement. My kid fourth grader does not read and write the way she should. That's my number one concern. And I had a 20-year-old daughter who's at Syracuse University. She's doing fine. And a 17-year-old daughter who, a month ago, as I told you, was in a terrible car wreck. And her recovery is just okay. Those are the things I care about. That's what I'm concerned about. How about you? What is your top of mind concern? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. We have so much stuff for you tonight. I've got, in 6 minutes from now, we have weather from Dr. Dave Iser. Dr. Dave does not agree with me. I say there's no such thing as man-made global warming. There's global warming because we're at the end of a million-year ice age, as you learned in your weekly reader in school. But it's not because you drove a Chevrolet on US 1. That's not how it happened, not because of your Chevrolet. And I have Florida stories. Yes, Sterling on Sunday, Florida stories, the centerpiece of American radio. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follow her down to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I speak about the press and social media's effect on policing in America. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
How many times can one Florida woman get lost in a storm drain system? So far, we're up to 3. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Consumer alert. Walmart. Vitamins. Later, people at Walmart,
Sterling at night.
I'm worked up again. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll tell you why I'm steamed later on Sterling on Sunday.
Things are upside down in the Gaffney household here in Delaware. Becky's caring for her dying father. And we'll give you a little update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Good to see you again, too. Oh, stop it. All right, for our first Florida Story, we're going to Delray Beach, Florida, where we're going to have to go back in time just a little bit. I want you to go back with me to a Florida Stories episode from March of 2021, where a Florida woman goes swimming in a canal, and when she's approached by authorities to get out, someone tattled on her. I guess we can't swim in canals anymore. She swam her butt into a storm drain, and she just went missing. 2 weeks later, she showed up, and she said that she had been in the storm drains this whole time. I don't know if she was hanging out with the Ninja Turtles or whatever, but this was an interesting story because 2 weeks later, she went missing in a storm drain, or she went missing again, and she was found in a storm drain in the Dallas area in Texas somehow. She said she got lost in the storm drain and just went through a network to Texas. It seems fairly unlikely. I don't know if this woman has mental issues or on drugs, so I'm not here to make fun of her. I'm just here to point out that, guess what? Guess who got arrested again for being in a storm drain? You're never going to guess. Yeah, same lady. I don't know what her deal is, but she loves storm drains. You know, you kind of go through phases when you're a kid. I went through some storm drains when I was a kid just to go look like, hey, man, what is this big pipe? And then there's, you know, in adulthood, some people play golf. Some people have a foot fetish. This lady, I don't know if it's drugs or mental illness. So, again, I'm not trying to make fun of her. I'm just pointing out that this is fairly unique. A storm drain compulsion.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. For the next 20 minutes, you get to decide what we're talking about. Because I'm always stunned at the bloviating 900-hour monologues of professional talk show hosts. And they always talk about things that I don't care about. I care about the fact that I have I have this thing as a result of COVID. I think it's pronounced parosmia. I have parosmia. Now, let me tell you what this is. This is by far a much bigger concern than anything that happens 60,000 feet over Montana. Parosmia does this. It completely changes what your taste buds taste. It's as though it was a grand piano, and all of the notes on the grand piano were changed, moved. The C's were A's, the A's were D sharps, it's all moved. Well, the result is that depending on what I'm eating, it probably will taste like garbage. Foul, nasty garbage. And there's no way around it. I can't just force it down because my whole body thinks it's garbage and reacts to it that way. But it's not everything. If I eat citrus fruit, or I eat meat that doesn't have any sauce or ketchup, that's fine. But I cannot eat bread, potato, anything with sauce on it. Like if I took a piece of meat and put sauce on it, it's terrible. But if I just ate the piece of meat plain, it's fine. Anything sugar, sweet, awful. Now, this is a known phenomena of people who had COVID. Now, I had COVID for all of a day. It was like a very minor cold, not a big deal. But then 2 weeks later, I'm eating. I'm like, why does all of this taste horrible? And I searched, food tastes like garbage after COVID. What is that? How did that happen? And it turns out this is a known phenomenon. But the weird thing about it, besides everything I just said, is that everybody who has it has different results. There are people who can eat citrus fruit and people who find it repulsive. People who can eat meat, people who find it repulsive. I cannot eat bread or pasta or any simple carbohydrate, but the other people can eat the simple carbohydrate and not the proteins. As a result, in 6 months, I've lost 30 pounds because I'm eating no bread. I'm eating no simple carbohydrates. But I am talking to Charlie, who's in Philadelphia. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, don't worry me about this weather balloon. Is a slow-moving weather balloon would be the perfect vehicle for releasing, like, anthrax or something into our country. You know what I mean? Or even, like, hoof and mouth or something to destroy our cattle or anything. And how would they know it if, like, they released a powder out? They wouldn't even know it. You know what I mean? It's pretty scary. I mean, you can't trust the Chinese, obviously, with this COVID thing and all we've had. I don't know. Why wouldn't they shoot it down, like, before it got to Alaska or after it left Alaska and came all the way down the western seaboard? I you know what I mean? It's just everything with China just seems like it's so shady or something. And there's so much money invested over there that they just can't shake them. You know what I mean? No matter what they do to us, I just can't imagine ever coming out from under them anymore. You know what I mean? It's all of our big companies are invested up to the neck over there. You know, it's really in a bad situation that we've gotten ourselves in this. And this goes back to, like, Clinton saying, we can't let the human rights interfere with trade. Once they become wealthy, the standard of living will go up over there, which is just nonsense. They just become a complete, like, spying on their own population type of nation. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, imprisoning, like, Muslims and having slave workers. And there's just nothing good about the Chinese. I don't know why they wouldn't shoot that thing down out in the middle of the Pacific somewhere headed here, you know? But that's just my opinion. I mean,
no, Charlie.
I heard a guy on Coast to Coast years ago who said he was a biochemist or something for the Air Force or the Army or something. And they were experimenting with ticks back after World War II, putting radioactive isotopes in them and dropping them over New York State. And I think he even said that Lyme disease was a result of infecting ticks through the military. So, you know, I mean, it's really some scary things that can happen to us. And I wouldn't trust any kind of weather balloon coming from China myself. If I was president, that thing would have never even got here. You know what I mean? But that's just my own opinion.
Charlie, I agree with you. I don't get it. Unless they knew exactly what was in that balloon and therefore made the decision to not take it down over a populated area, which may have been a very smart thing to do.
Yeah, well, let's hope that's what was, you know, that they didn't know what was in there. But you know what I mean? It was,
Charlie,
nothing detrimental to the United States.
Now, you're in Philadelphia, Charlie. Where do you get pizza?
Rising Sun Pizza, Santucci's, a couple places. I couldn't name them all. There's quite a few decent places around.
Right, I know. I just needed one. I needed you to prove you're a Philadelphian, which you did do, and I appreciate the call, Charlie. Thank you very much for calling. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to a DoorDash driver who's based in Fairbanks, Alaska, and we will get the Fairbanks point of view about this very hard and important news story. Why? Because this is a live radio show. It's not a silly radio show. It is a live radio show, and it's called Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Most doctors highly recommend that we take supplements. Supplements help us with our health. Because in our general diet, no matter how fastidious you are, you are likely missing key ingredients that your body needs to thrive and survive. Case in point, Walmart marketing generic brands that may be making false promises. Walmart's generic brand is Equate. And I go to Walmart all the time, and I frequently pick up the Equate brand. Well, according is that some of the magnesium supplements at Walmart have made false claims they can help with insomnia, fatigue, or even bowel movements. Researchers have said there isn't enough evidence to support this. However, that is why Walmart has been questioned per a Harvard Health Publishing study. Class action lawsuits. Find out if you can be a part of it, because if you've been taking Walmart's Equate Magnesium, it's been labeled wrong. Even says, quote unquote, comfortable relief of occasional constipation, which obviously is an invitation to purchase. When it comes to supplements, make sure you follow your doctor's advice. Find the attorneys, do a quick Google. Perhaps you can join this amazing class action lawsuit. You can get a few bucks in your pocket. Not a bad thing. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Instead of me doing a bloviated monologue that nobody cares about, but hello, talk show host, no one cares about your endless monologue about nothing. Instead, why don't you share what's on top of your mind right now? What are you thinking about right now? And you're thinking, well, it's not really important. It is, because it's important to you. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. This is a network radio show live on KXNT in Las Vegas. Keith, DoorDash driver, Fairbanks, Alaska. Welcome to the weekly Alaska Report from Keith Fonz. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Walter. How are you doing tonight?
Now, Keith, did you see the weather balloon go over Alaska? Were you aware of this? Was this reported in the news in Alaska?
Not till after it passed Alaska, but the problem with this balloon is our president and everybody underneath him failed the American people, and I'll explain why. So in Alaska, we have 9 military bases here, almost more than any other state in the country. And in back in 1953, on the northwestern tip of Alaska, the Air Force started a program, Cape Lisborne, and their whole mission is they have long-range radar site there. And they are to watch our coast, specifically back during the Cold War, to keep an eye on Russia and China and anybody that can threaten the United States. And the question around Alaska right now is, why did they not detect it before it hit Alaska and take care of it over the coast there instead of watching it go through Alaska, then go into another foreign land, Canada, and then back down to the United States? It should have never made it inside of Alaska. That's the whole point of this Air Force program they have there, that a lot of people in the country have no idea that that was even there.
The North America Air Force Command is designed to be the first alert, the high alert, on all of the boundaries of North America, and it is controlled by the United States of America. It is a remarkably complex system that enables us to see every single thing in the sky that heads toward the boundaries of North America. And you know what? It didn't do anything about the balloon, and it sure as heck didn't do anything on September 11th. It doesn't seem to be working the way it is promised to be working. Is that your impression, Keith?
Correct. Exactly. It's like nobody, like my source used to be, he used to be stationed there. And a lot of people in the country don't even know that that place exists here in Alaska. But, you know, like I said, the president on down through the military, they failed us. Like, what if it was a chemical weapon? What if it did have a warhead on it? All they did was sit back and watch it while a foreign object came into our airspace. That doesn't make sense to me. Either somebody was sleeping there, or they, you know, that's mind-boggling that they could actually let something that could be potentially a threat from a foreign land come into our airspace and not do anything about it but watched it. Like, they literally all week last week, they watched it go over and hover over our military sites let it go through our country, and then they wanted to take action. It's like, yeah, it's going to take you months now to read what China was doing or what information they got. But if China can maneuver it, don't you think they were getting live updates while the thing was in the air? So it doesn't matter now that the government actually took it down. They should have taken it down a week ago.
Keith Fons, DoorDash driver in Fairbanks, Alaska, in North Pole, Alaska. What's amazing to me is at first China was saying, oh, gee, it got lost. We lost control of it. Meanwhile, you look at the flight path, and it's a perfect reverse S, starting in Alaska, going over Canada, going to Montana. It is a beautiful, well-controlled flight, clearly a well-controlled flight. And it's you're right. It's unbelievable that it was allowed to continue, leading me to believe that it was allowed to continue on purpose. It was allowed to continue in a conspiracy with China. There was a mutual goal at work. China's saying, well, we were looking over farmland. Well, maybe we were anxious to actually sell the farmland. And yes, by all means, come in and take the open house tour of our farmlands. Keith Fons, our great friend in Fairbanks, Alaska, I thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Oh, Keith, what's the price of a dozen eggs?
Right now, about a little over $4.
Hi. Thanks very much, Keith Fons in Fairbanks, Alaska. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I speak about the press and social media's effect on policing in America. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Florida nearly has the first political assassination by a tree. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
I'm worked up again. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll tell you why I'm steamed later on Sterling on Sunday.
Things are upside down in the Gaffney household here in Delaware. Becky's caring for her dying father. And we'll give you a little update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Don't you love this show? This is a network radio show. It is 3 hours long. 3 hours of pure bliss where I do not at any time yell at the Democrats. How is it possible to make a radio show in this day and age where nobody yells at the Democrats? It just doesn't happen. Because I think they're well yelled at. One of the things that I respect, one of the types of people I respect, is anybody who does something first. Because the pioneers are the ones with the arrows in their backs. There's nothing more difficult than trying to do something new in any industry. It's incredibly hard. Every system in every company is set up so new things don't happen. New things are risky. They cost money. It might fail. Oh my gosh, it might fail. Doesn't work out. It'd be disaster, but it's never really a disaster because unless you're committing surgery, it mostly doesn't matter. And I have tremendous respect for the Teslas of the world, for the Thomas Edisons of the world, people who do things for the first time, especially when they're told over and over again it won't work. Don't even think about it. Those are the people I respect. One of them is T.J. Lubinsky. Now, you know T.J. Lubinsky, even though you don't think you do. T.J. Lubinsky is a producer of concerts that appear now on public television. They're the doo-wop concerts, the folk concerts, British Invasion, 70s concerts, the disco concerts. These have been going on for 25 years. And T.J. does the following. He books the acts, arranges for the venue, arranges for the crew, shoots it, then brings it back and edits it, and most importantly, sweetens it, because 50 years after the hit was put out, difficult to get it to sound the way the record did. But you and I, all we care about is that it sounds the way the record did. When we see a performance by the Drifters or the Dupree's, we want it to sound like the record. TJ is a master at doing this. TJ Lubinsky is a master at making that happen. Now, TJ's been doing this for 25 years. Why has he been? Why does public television continue to book concerts and put on concerts that were created by TJ Lubinsky during their fund drives? They've done it for 25 years. Why? Because they raise the most money. The TJ Lubinsky concerts, which feature hit songs from each genre and each era, only the hits, no B-sides, they keep booking them and leasing his concerts because they produce the most. What, you thought the three tenors brought in the big bucks? No. TJ Lubinsky's concerts, doo-wop, 70s, British Invasion, folk, they're the ones that bring in the big money. And I kept saying he leases them to them. For years, I thought the public television produced those concerts. I thought that public television's programming team put those concerts together and put them on the air for fundraising. No, no, no. TJ Lubinsky Productions produces them, pulls them together, puts them on the air, arranges for the Pittsburgh Orchestra, the Pittsburgh Symphony, to back up those songs. He does it. And who else works with him? Nobody. Everybody who works with him, who puts together those concerts, they're freelance. But all of the phone calls, all the booking, the acts, the negotiations, it's him and a lawyer. That's it. If it was a public television group, a public television executives, they'd be fighting over a table at Michael's before they ever got anything done. They would be, who's going to get the best seat at Lutece before they got anything done? They'd have 400 people working on it to do what TJ Lubinsky does with one person. I love having TJ Lubinsky on Sterling on Sunday because he always has great stories. And tonight he's going to share his impression and the history of a great musician who happened to pass away this week. He has the inside scoop on this. It's fascinating stuff. And here's a statistic to own. And you can throw this in the face of the people you work with. Every company's obsessed with, we have to get younger listeners. We have to get younger viewers. We have to keep it young. Well, guess what? Of the 200 streams that feature music, digital streams that feature music, 95% of the music that listeners buy and listeners listen to is from the last century. Only 5% of the music that is bought and listened to is new. And there's all this research about music discovery. People don't use radio for music discovery. They go online. Well, only 5% of the songs that are downloaded, listened to, and purchased online, only 5% is new music. Only 5%. 95% of it is Creedence Clearwater Revival. 95% of it is The Association, The Mamas and the Papas, The Beach Boys, The Beatles. That's what people download and listen to. And the master, the genius who knows how to pull it all together, make it fascinating and stunning, and make it sound like the records, is TJ Lubinsky. And TJ will be with you and me coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
All right, Sterling on Sunday, 19 past the hour, network radio show live. And this week saw the passing of R&B pop legend Charlie Thomas. And Charlie Thomas was an incredibly important man in the history of Motown. TJ Lubinsky, always up to date on the history of the most important and popular music that you and I enjoy. Well, TJ, who is Charlie Thomas?
Charlie was the best. First of all, it's great to be with you, sir, as always. In this case, na 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 na, late at night, Walter Sterling style.
Very favorite song. Very favorite song.
Because you have excellent taste.
Thank you, sir.
It's just that simple. Charlie was a guy, God, you know, he started very interestingly. The Drifters began in the early 50s. Those records are in blues records, real bluesy records like Drip Drop and their version of White Christmas and Steamboat and all those great songs, Adorable, on the Atlantic label. Their manager, one night, there's a fight between all the different guys. Clyde McFadder, of course, was in that original group, and Bill Pinkney, who was the bass man, and he says, that's it, I'm done with you guys, you're fired. And they're working at a venue where the Five Crowns happen to be performing. Well, the Five Crowns are Benny King, Charlie Thomas, and a few of the other guys that were in and out of the Drifters. That's, people don't realize they got their name, the Drifters, because they would drift in and out of the group all the time. It was meant to sort of be that way by design. And so Charlie was the guy originally supposed to sing lead on There Goes My Baby. And Benny King, they were sort of grooming him for a solo career, said, let's do some Drifter sides with you, but he always gave accolades to Charlie, as that really was meant to be his song. And throughout the history of the Drifters' music, and we all know those songs, you have to kind of refer to them as the second group of Drifters when Charlie was in the group. He was there, and he was there, you know, from There Goes My Baby, This Magic Moment, Save the Last Dance for Me, on and on and on and on and on, and through the personnel changes when, of course, you had a guy like Benny King move on, a guy named Rudy Lewis came in. When Rudy committed suicide, sadly, a guy by the name of Johnny Moore came in. And so Charlie was there, and all the way to the end, he fought these fake groups of Drifters that were out there around the country. And his voice is so important to that sound that the Drifters gave us. So that's who Charlie was, a magnificent guy aside from all that, just a real supporter and lover of the music.
Now, did he write a lot of the songs?
No, it wasn't so much writing. It was just he had that, you know, very, it's hard to describe, you know, that raspy sort of baritone slash tenor voice that he could slide back and forth on. And Charlie, you know, some of his he did do a lead on a tune called Sweets from My Sweet, which everybody kind of likes, a little cute little thing by the Drifters, little cha-cha. He did a song called When My Little Girl Is Smiling. But for the most part, he stayed in his lane, which was being a really good background singer. It wasn't until the other group members died that he then took control as the lead singer of the group, or retired, or whatever was the case. In fact, one of the greatest moments we had was having Charlie Thomas, Bill Pinkney, Benny King, and Bobby Hendrix, all previous leads of the Drifters, on one of these great TV shows I had a chance to be a part of. But you know, the thing about the Drifters, Walt, is unlike any other group, they take you to a special feeling. I can remember being 14 years old. Now, you know I'm from Bradley Beach, but also I did a fair amount of time in Ocean Grove, New Jersey. And, of course, you know Ocean Grove and the history of Ocean Grove, right?
Yes. Nothing happens there on Sunday.
Correct. You still couldn't drive.
Right.
Because they called it God's Square Mile, and it was very uncool to do, you know, like loud R&B music, which I used to play by request out of my apartment window. I had my own apartment when I was 15, and I would shell for requests. And one day, I was working at one of my favorite jobs there. It was a place called Day's Ice Cream, if you remember Day's, right across from the the great auditorium there.
Yes, it is a great ice cream place, a spectacular ice cream place.
Classic, because you knew how to make an egg cream, you knew how to make a phosphate, you knew how to make a Ricky. You know, you really were a soda jerk back in those days, and carried on that tradition. So I'm working at Day's one day, and I discover the music of the Drifters almost overnight. And as soon as I hear a song called Up on the Roof, and I had such a hard day, there was stuff going on, I had four or five other jobs trying to figure out how to get into television, and I said, you know what, everybody in the whole place, let's just take a break, and we're all going to go up on the roof, which we did on the roof of Day's, and we all just hang out and sang to Up on the Roof by the Drifters.
Well, and up on the roof by
de-stressing, unbelievable. What an opportunity! Wow.
Yeah, up on the roof by the Drifters is the reason why my goal getting out of college was to live in New York City. That song is the reason I had to live in New York City. And last week I played it for my two oldest daughters and I said, this is why I lived in New York City. Listen to this. And I hate to admit this, TJ, but when I did that, I cried because it was true. And it is such a powerful song. Now,
can't you imagine right now in this second when this whole world starts getting you down and there's room enough for two up on the roof and the whole world can go down below you, but you're with that person. And in your case, they would call it Tar Beach. That's right. What it was referred to.
Now, let me ask you this about putting on these concerts. The thing that always amazes me about your concerts, which are seen on public television, you lease them to public television, which is always a shocker. Public television doesn't make them. They lease them from you because you are the guy. But the thing that always amazes me is these songs, some of them are 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, and some of them don't have sheet music. How do you get them to sound like the record? How do you do that?
I have an orchestrator who we work very closely with, and he has to listen to the records and chart them. And if there's songs where multi-tracks exist, that's basically the part of the recording is that it's just parts of the music, so you can hear everything that usually gets covered over by vocals. We try to get those, but, our shows go back. I mean, some of our biggest shows are big band, the 50s pop era, Magic Moment stuff with the McGuire sisters, then into doo-wop, then into R&B and soul and Motown and disco and folk and classical and all that stuff. So it's about having the right people around you to understand. And it is a challenge. You know, when you say to a symphony player, listen, you're playing a song called Angel Baby by Rosie and the Originals, and there's some things going on there in the beginning, but if you don't start with the guitar at a tune, we don't have the record. So you're playing it too well. Stop that and play it bad, like wrong, like it is on the record. And that's the key, is to give people back that moment. And I've got a lot of great people around me that understand that and have to go against their instincts as musicians to play the way these records were played. I mean, I remember doing sessions on the Drifters because you usually we're recording before the show, during the show, after the show, and then we're mixing and doing all that kind of stuff. So records like On Broadway, they seem so simple to you, but they're not. There's so much going on with those strings and the kind of lines and the way the female vocal parts have to come in. Or Under the Boardwalk and all those Charlie Thomas songs. It's complicated, but if we do it right, no one will ever notice.
Now, you have a website where we can buy some of the DVDs and CDs that were featured on public television during your show. What's the name of that website?
Treasury Collection. TreasuryCollection.com. And that's if people, want to see certain shows that have been on PBS in past years, and they can still get those on DVD if they're still available. I also have a Facebook page. It's basically TJ Levinsky Facebook fan page. Anyone can Google that and see it and go to it. And that's where I post clips all the time of this 25-year legacy of all these wonderful artists and songs.
TJ Levinsky, the man who make sure that public television continues to be funded, but more importantly, gives us this incredible experience every time one of his concerts goes on the air. What's the name of that website again, TJ?
I think the Facebook page is probably the best way to go. TJ Lubinsky, Lubinsky, Facebook fan page. I think that's really where to go. But just one parting word for you, Walt, as you started your show, and I always thank you for your support, but when you talk about the word and people that invent things like Edison, New Jersey, right? You've got to say to yourself for a second, you've got to say, wait a second, there's no such word as no. No, what do you mean something's impossible? No means tell me more. That's what I hear when someone says no. I hear, tell me more. How do we do this thing that you say we can't do? So there you go.
TJ Levinsky, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Always a pleasure to have TJ on because he did things first, and I have nothing but deep respect for people who do something first, and that is what you can do. It'll seem like- Wired. We have a lot more fun for you coming up in just seconds. 3 hours live every Sunday night. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you. All right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Sterling on Sunday. Tonight.
Hi. I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I speak about the press and social media's effect on policing in America. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm worked up again. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll tell you why I'm steamed later on Sterling on Sunday.
Florida nearly has the first political assassination by a tree. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Things are upside down in the Gaffney household here in Delaware. Becky's caring for her dying father. And we'll give you a little update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. Our next Florida story is in Sarasota, where, you know, we think of congressmen as these rich, upper-class elites. But a lot of them are just regular guys who live in a nice neighborhood and they still have to do things like mow their own lawn and trim their own trees. And we have one of these guys who's on a 25-foot ladder, some congressman down in Sarasota, and he's trimming trees. He's trimming big limbs off of his trees. Now, this is a dangerous proposition because from what it sounds like, he had the ladder leaned up either against the trunk or one of the branches, but really high up. And when he chainsawed one of them off, another one was being held back by it, and it swung and knocked the ladder out from him, and he fell somewhere between 20 and 25 feet. He's going to be okay. He's recovering. You know, he didn't die for sure, but that is awful and reminds me I need to go trim my trees, and I might just have to have someone else do it. But I don't think we've ever had a politician in America be assassinated by a tree before. That would be a first.
Wait. Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
All right, for our next Florida story, we're going to Polk County, where a Polk County man is in trouble for selling venomous snakes. And this is interesting because I don't understand either side of this transaction. Who is the guy that is so into venomous snakes that he is willing to provide them with others? He's just got to share the love of venomous snakes with them. It's not enough for him to have them. He's got to be the guy that provides venomous snakes to the, I didn't know this existed, the venomous snake market. And then on the other side, who's the guy buying these? Why are you, what kind of crap pet is that that could possibly kill you, if not cause you to have your arm amputated? Is that fun? Is that cool? Is that what you like? Do you just juggle grenades for fun as well? This is WFLA.
Jen and Keith, nearly 200 snakes from all over the world were seized this month by FWC after a years-long investigation. A lot of the alleged trafficking happened online.
Are you serious? A years-long investigation? They spent a year on this? How much manpower was spent on this? How much time, effort, and energy to get to the seedy underbelly of the black market venomous snake world did you guys do? Glad you guys got to the bottom of that one.
Wait. Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Walter M. Sterling, good evening. We do a three-hour live radio show every Sunday night. This is not the Golden You show. Retirement and you show, stock market and you show. No, this is a live radio show where you and I get to talk about our lives. Tonight were the Grammys, and I'll share with you the major awards and who won the Grammys coming up in just seconds. But first, we go to Kansas City, Missouri, and there is Janet. Welcome, Janet. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Greetings, Walt. How are you?
Greeting. Well, I've lost 30 pounds because of COVID, and not because of when I was sick with COVID, which lasted all of a day and a half, but because of the aftermath. And I have Paris Premiso, I can't pronounce it. It is a distortion of the taste buds where things I eat taste like garbage.
Anything that keeps you from eating white bread's got to be great for you. Try brown rice.
No white
Try
bread.
Try millet.
Instead of your bread. I can eat oatmeal.
No. Oatmeal, gluten, mm-mm. No.
I eat fresh fruit. That works. And I can eat
lots
meat.
Lots of fresh fruit.
I eat meat without sauce. I can't have any
Baked
sauce,
meat.
No ketchup. Nothing.
Baked meat, best thing for you. You're doing the right thing. You just don't know it. Your body's doing the right thing for you, Walt.
I know. God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. The result
yes,
is...
reject the white bread.
Right. The result is, of having no simple carbohydrates for now 6 months, is I'm at the point where I'm a type 2 diabetic, and hell, I don't need insulin anymore. It was counterproductive to take insulin. My morning number's like 72, and that's the result of losing 30 pounds. And Janet, what can I do for you?
Well, I had been wanting to talk to TJ because his focus on healing, music is healing, is one of my focuses. And since before I can remember, I've been obsessed by the bass line in music. And come to find out, the walking bass line comes from our small town of Warrensburg. I'm from Chilhowee, 20 minutes from Warrensburg, and Warrensburg's 45 minutes from Kansas City. And in Civil War times, a baby was born named John William Boone, who was an international pianist and died in 1927. And popularized the walking bass line. Walter, what is rock and roll but the walking bass line? When Ed Sullivan was over, my brothers played over and over and over again. I saw her standing there. The driving line in that is the bass line. And that's where Ike Turner, Rocket 88, writing that song on the way to Sun Studio to Sam Phillips in the car, and then the women in the office filling in the verses while they're recording. That's where the walking bass line and rock and roll was born, in my town, 20 miles from my town, Warrensburg, Missouri. John William Blind Boone.
Now, Janet, the Egyptians also believed that music had healing power. So you're saying the walking bass line has healing power. Is that right, Janet?
Well, the walking bass line is part of my obsession from youth, and I know that music has healing powers, as before I can even remember, dance, motion, verbalization, singing, dancing is the way our synapses connect in our brains. That's how they fire. Our educational system tells us, shut up and sit down. We're supposed to stand up, be verbal, and move in order to learn. So, yes, that is healing. And somehow I've known that for a long time. I sat at my sister's left hand. She's 12 years older, so when she was 16 and I was 4, I would turn the page for her as she played the piano. I'd be at the bass line side, and I thought my name was Paige for a long time because she'd say, Paige. But I didn't ever think my last name was Turner. So
now you worked on that joke
for the giggle.
You worked on that joke for a long time, didn't you, Janet?
Yes, I've delivered it before, and you gave me a good laugh.
Yes, Janet, I appreciate you. I appreciate the call. I happen to be one of the few New Yorkers who loves Kansas City. I love Kansas City, especially the plaza at Christmas time is just magnificent. And I thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. The secret of iTunes that nobody wants to talk about because it's not cool, music discovery and shuffle are not the most popular features on iTunes. You know what it is? Single song repeat. You find the song you like, the one that gets your brain lined up, the ones that solve the DNA problems in your heart, and you listen to that song over and over and over again, that is the most popular feature on iTunes. The smartest radio stations in the world have always known that the shorter the playlist, the more listeners they will have. The biggest risk, the biggest risk a radio station can have is that they play more than one song. They know what the best song is at any given time. When they add a second song, that's a risk. Every song after the first song is a risk. The big radio stations, you ready for this? The big top 40 radio stations through history have played the number one song every 50 minutes. Every 50 minutes. Because it works. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's great to be with you driving across Route 80 tonight. Going from Maine to California, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Indiana, we have a state car inspection. Hi, I'm Brad. It's state law that everyone get their car checked by a certified mechanic before they can get their license plates renewed. The state says which mechanics can perform the inspections. Well, I'm in broadcasting, so I'm not driving around in a sedan DeVille. I have a 1968 Ford Fairlane, which had too many miles when I bought it, but the price was right. Anyway, I stopped at a gas station on the northwest side the other day for an inspection. The guy on duty put the old Fairlane up on the rack and said I needed a new muffler and tailpipe. Well, you gotta do what the mechanic says, or you don't pass. So I found a muffler shop and took care of the new parts and installation. Then I went back to the gas station to get my hopefully passing grade. Well, the guy put it up on the rack and started scraping away at cement between the muffler and the tailpipe. I said, what are you doing? That's a new install. He said he had to check the fittings for integrity. Well, I told him those fittings had more integrity than he did and to pass the car. I hope the state realizes what a jip these state inspections have become. What do you think? Is the state car inspection just an excuse for the mechanics to flunk your car and then charge you extra for repairs? I'll open the phones after the news and the weather, brought to you by Columbia Record Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Clark.
Have I got music for you. 13 of your favorite records or tapes for one penny when you join the Columbia Record and Tape Club. In all my 27 years in the business, I've never seen a better offer. And it's all here in TV Guide. Best-selling albums by superstars like Billy Joel, Barry Manilow, and hundreds more. Some of my most talented friends are here. Linda Ronstadt, Village People, Rod Stewart, Boston. The legends of music and the legends to come. Now here's how to turn those 13 albums into 14 for the same penny. Look for this gold box in the ad. Then write the number of any extra album you want in that box, and it's yours. That's 14 albums for a penny. If you've never taken advantage of a music club before, believe me, this is your golden opportunity. Look for the ad in TV Guide, fill in the gold box, and have you got music?
Yes, an old-fashioned talk show. That ad hasn't appeared in 50 years. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and let's deal with the hottest topic possible today, especially with weather like this. Citrus TV's Juice and Java at Syracuse University hit the toughest topic possible, the most controversial topic imaginable. And I want to know how you feel about the results of this survey. I want to know how you feel. This is this is so controversial, I'm very nervous about putting it on the air.
What's up, and welcome back to Juice and Java. Now, it's currently 3 degrees outside, so we don't really want to go outside. We're staying inside, like many people here in Syracuse, but we're going to answer one of the biggest questions there is.
Yeah, who has the best hot chocolate? Is it Dunkin' or Starbucks? So right now, we're starting at a fan favorite here in Syracuse, Dunkin' Donuts. We're going to go through the drive-thru and get our order. All right, so we've got our hot chocolate from Dunkin' Donuts. Mine, no whipped cream.
Mine does have whipped cream. So we're going to rate them now. One being like Muddy Water, 10 being Polar Express hot chocolate. Here we go. Yeah, that's...
It's hot.
It's hot. Dunkin' really does have hot, hot chocolate, but the chocolate just isn't there for me.
Yeah, and it's definitely a little watery, and I do prefer my hot chocolate with water, but the chocolate, it's just not there.
Chocolate's not there. So, for me, 4.5 out of 10.
And I'm 4 out of 10.
Yeah, not good.
Then, they went to Starbucks. And what they found at Starbucks was shocking. They found that the Starbucks hot chocolate was even worse than the Dunkin' Donuts. It got a 1. Dunkin' Donuts gets a 4. Starbucks gets a 1. And who they decided was the best hot chocolate, I will share with you coming up. How do you feel? Who has the best hot chocolate? They say Dunkin' Donuts is better than Starbucks, and Starbucks isn't good. It always shocked me that Starbucks doesn't have good hot chocolate. I agree. Starbucks does not have good hot chocolate. You can like their coffee or not, but the hot chocolate, forget it. 888-688-WALT. But the best hot chocolate that they found, I will share that with you coming up in seconds. 888-688-9258. How do you feel about Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate versus Starbucks hot chocolate? Which do you think has the best hot chocolate? 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. We're going to solve this massive and important problem in the Midnight Misfit part of Sterling on Sunday. Midnight Misfits, stand by. The next hour is just for you. If you don't fit in at work, if you don't fit in with your family, this is the place. D. Wells, Judy Anderson, Neil Paul, welcome. Rosemary Furlong and your mom, this is our place. Billy Datz and your family, this is where we belong. John Kelly, do you want to become an official Midnight Misfit? Do you want to hear your name on the radio and be embarrassed and ashamed in front of millions and millions of people? Go to Walter Sterling Show, Walter Sterling Show, and click Midnight Misfit. Do it now. Click on Midnight Misfit, and there you'll be able to download and print out your official Midnight Misfit membership card. It's at waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Click on Midnight Misfits, download the official card, and you're in. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I speak about the press and social media's effect on policing in America. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm worked up again. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll tell you why I'm steamed later on Sterling on Sunday.
Fort Lauderdale may have its first parade led by a 21-foot-tall penis. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Things are upside down in the Gaffney household here in Delaware. Becky's caring for her dying father. And we'll give you a little update coming up tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Hello, Sterling on Sunday, Midnight Misfits. Dan Gaffney here.
With Becky Gaffney.
Obviously, my wife is on the telephone. You know, many people have gone through the difficulty of trying to care for a sick parent or a dying parent or what have you. And that's what we're going through. So, Becky, normally in here, we talk about the exploits of what happens in our old house with our kids. But it's been a lot of disruption because you're doing the caregiving thing.
I am. Still with the kids at home who are, you know, feral children when I'm away and I'm gone. And the pace of that has just kind of increased. So I'm on the phone.
I remember hearing people talk about what it was like caring for their parents in their later years, and I never really could relate. But now that we've gone through it, I can really relate. How about you?
I can too. And I think really, because this is a serious subject, and normally we're talking about, you know, the funny things that happen in our lives with all our kids and our old house and, you know, just life, that making it a little bit encouraging is kind of what I want to do right now. So I'm going to repeat something that people have continually said to me the whole time that we've had to juggle kids and juggle sick parent and juggle life, is that everything you're doing, if you're doing the best thing that you can, that's all that you can do. And it sounds like such a simple thing, like something to send a kid off to kindergarten with, but it really is true. Every decision that you make is hard. Everything that you do is hard. Every day is hard. But the fact that you're there and you're doing the work is the best that you can do.
I don't know how you do it. You know how I am talking, just making an appointment for myself at the doctor. I can't do it. But just your constant phone calling with the doctors, the nurses, the home health aide, the hospice, the all of that stuff, the insurance, the paperwork. You're doing it for our family and him. And it's just, I don't know how you do it.
Funny story about that is that one of our adult children was in the car with me as I was just trying to get to an appointment for him and do things for this adult child that was in the car. And I'm getting text messages and phone calls and driving and saying, hey, could you answer that text message? Could you see what that was? Could you? And she said, I do not know how your brain isn't fried. I am so sorry that I text you so much, too. So if she hadn't been in the car with me, she would have been texting me, too. And it's just kind of it's accepting the fact that you can't do everything perfectly. You can't be all the places at one time. And that if this is where you're supposed to be right now, this is where you're supposed to be.
It's all consuming. And even when they bring in the nurse or whatever to give you respite care so that you can take a little break, even then, when the nurse doesn't show up or calls in sick, then you got that whole, you're still working it even when you're supposed to be out not thinking about it. It's like nonstop.
Yeah.
So how do you encourage other people who are also going through this?
Again, super simple. Hang in there. There is no decision that is, quote, the right decision or the wrong decision. You do what you have to do for everyone, as long as they are comfortable, they are safe, they are fed when they want to eat. You are being kind. That's the best thing that you can do. Keep going. Hang in there. You got this.
888-688-9258. Walter M. Sterling. This is a national radio show. And we're dealing with the incredibly hot topic, which is who makes the better hot chocolate, Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks? Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks? Two reporters at Syracuse University's Newhouse School, which turns out real journalists, got in their car and went through the drive-thru in Syracuse for Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks to see which had the best hot chocolate. And then they put it on their television show on Citrus TV, and their television show is called Juice and Java. The producer who came up with this idea and who produces Juice and Java is Dorothy Sabo. And Dorothy Sabo puts together one hell of a show. And if I was at NBC Universal, I would grab her so fast to be a summer intern. I can't begin to tell you what a great job this woman can do based on what I see on the screen. Here's the report on the hot chocolate.
What's up and welcome back to Juice and Java. Now, it's currently 3 degrees outside, so we don't really want to go outside. We're staying inside, like many people here in Syracuse, but we're going to answer one of the biggest questions there is.
Yeah, who has the best hot chocolate? Is it Dunkin' or Starbucks? So right now, we're starting at a fan favorite here in Syracuse, Dunkin' Donuts. We're going to go through the drive-thru and get our order. All right, so we've got our hot chocolate from Dunkin' Donuts. Mine, no whipped cream.
Mine does have whipped cream. So we're going to rate them now. One being like muddy water, 10 being Polar Express hot chocolate. Here we go. Yeah, that's
it's hot.
It's hot. Dunkin' really does have hot, hot chocolate, but the chocolate just isn't there for me.
Yeah, and it's definitely a little watery, and I do prefer my hot chocolate with water, but the chocolate, it's just not there.
Chocolate's not there. So for me, 4.5 out of 10.
A 4.5 out of 10. Yeah, then they go to Starbucks, and they said that was even worse. That was a 1. They gave the Starbucks hot chocolate a 1. And that always surprised me. When I first got hot chocolate at Starbucks, I'm like, this isn't very good. Because everything else at Starbucks is pretty good, but not that. And everything at Dunkin' Donuts is pretty good. It got a 4 for the hot chocolate. However, the Citrus TV reporters on Juice and Java then concluded what the best hot chocolate was. What was the best hot chocolate? And I have put that up on Twitter. If you go to my Twitter account, Walter M. Sterling, there I am, big smile, holding up a box of the best hot chocolate. Twitter, Walter M. Sterling. You can see the results. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. The big controversy. Who has the best hot chocolate? Barry, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Yeah, I got a question for you. I've talked about this before, but I have a new question about it. And so, okay, we have an alien in outer space. He's orbiting the Earth, and he sends down a radio signal down to the Earth. The radio signal hits the Earth. And when it hits the Earth, would it be destroyed?
Well, Barry, you seem to know a great deal about this. Do you think it would be destroyed? In your opinion, would it be destroyed? And what does it matter?
Well,
what does it matter, Barry? How does this affect you? How does this turn off your engine light?
Well, I don't know. Just kind of interesting. I was wondering if it would bounce off the planet and go off into outer space.
Barry.
For some weird reason, I'm
Barry, you must stop thinking. You must stop thinking about these things, Barry. These are not constructive things. You're not going to make any money with this. You're not going to impress women with this sort of question. You can't continue your life this way. You must find a different path in life, Barry. Do you understand?
Yeah, I do. It's too spacey and far out.
No, it's not too spacey and far out. It serves no purpose, Barry, and in order to fulfill your destiny, in order to fulfill what God put you on earth for, your higher power put you on earth for, you must come up with better questions if you're going to call a network radio show rather than asking me insanely stupid questions, Barry. Thank you for your call. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Don't be like Barry. Do not call up and ask incredibly stupid questions. Call up and ask sane questions. Like, which is the best hot chocolate? Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks? 888-688-9258. And I have put the result of the Citrus TV Juice and Java show on Twitter at Walter M. Sterling. That's my Twitter account, Walter M. Sterling. And I've held up a picture of the best hot chocolate for you on Twitter right now. I put it up right now. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we're going to Flagler County. I wish I could be more specific than that, but where this happened is not an actual place. It's just kind of out in the middle of nowhere and on a beautiful beach. For the first time in history, the heartbreaking story here, a 21-foot orca whale washed ashore. It was beached. It was not found by people fast enough, and it died on the beach. Never happened before. We've never seen a killer whale. It looks like Free Willy. It's huge, 21 feet. And they're going to take it in to have a little whale autopsy. I'm surprised they're not going to eat it, to be honest. Good for Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story,
We are going to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where a guy who is an atheist activist took advantage of the local town's Christmas display, took it to court, and demanded he have a public display of his own religious choosing. So the man goes around the world and he finds this obscure religious festival in this one town in Japan where it's kind of like a phallus festival. And what they do, this town's tradition, is they make a giant phallus and they parade it through town. And okay, so Fort Lauderdale is now being forced by the courts to do this. And we can expect, if it looks like what they do in Japan, that this guy is going to get his way and have a giant, you know, wee-wee walk through town. And so I think what he's trying to do is show the absurdity of religion in the public sphere. But I don't know how many debates in public history have been won with a 21-foot-tall weenie walking around town. I mean, I'm not saying it can't win. I'm skeptical. I don't remember that ever being a logical argument.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Well, as you know, tonight was the night of the Grammy Awards. And you'll notice that I'm always on when there are events like this. For example, next week is The Big Game, which we're not allowed to call by its proper name for reasons I will never understand. Never. This is the one lousy thing that the NFL has, the one thing besides concussions, overpaying idiots. Over the highest percent of people in the NFL are criminals of any industry. Okay, so they have this one thing. And we're not allowed to say its name. I'm on against that. The Emmys, the Oscars, the Kennedy Center Honors, the MTV Awards, the World Series. I'm on against all of that. Now, if you're a midday talk show host in America, what are you on against? What are you up against? You're up against Dr. Phil. You're up against Dr. Oz. You're up against... Good morning, Philadelphia. Good morning, Kansas City. That's or the prestigious Good Morning America 3, the GMA 3, the third hour of Good Morning America, which nobody watches. But I get to be up against actual competition. That is why they put me on, because they knew I could handle it. Now, tonight was the Grammys. And these were some of the big winners, but the big thing I can't understand about the Grammys, there are hundreds of winners. There are hundreds of wacky categories that they just made up so that everybody in the music industry would actually come to this thing. All right, All Too Well by Taylor Swift, that was the winning music video. The pop duo group performance was Unholy, that was the winner. Country solo performance was Live Forever, Willie Nelson. The metal performance, Ozzy Osbourne, was the winner with Degradation Rules. Degradation Rules. They gave that to Ozzy because they really don't think Ozzy's going to be doing anything else. The winning rock album was Ozzy Osbourne, Patient Number 9. Now, what was he up against? He was up against Crawlers, Spoon, The Black Keys, and Elvis Costello. Okay. The best music film was Jazz Fest, A New Orleans Story. That was the winner. The best musical theater album, Into the Woods. The best R&B song was Cuff It by Beyoncé. The best rap song was The Heart, Part 5. Best solo performance, Easy on Me by Adele. I never want to hear from Adele ever again. Dance recording, Break My Soul, Beyoncé. The best producer of a non-classical music was Jack Antonoff, Dance Fever. I can't worry about these things. But then it gets weird. Then We go down the list of other things that won, and they have bizarre categories. They have category. Oh, here's the best rock song, Broken Horses by Brandi Carlile. Best rock performance, Broken Horses, Brandi Carlile. Brandi Carly. Let's see. Best rap performance, The Hard Part 5, Kendrick Lamar. Country album, best country album, A Beautiful Time by Willie Nelson. The best comedy album, The Closer by Dave Chappelle. Thank gosh. Thank gosh. The best R&B album, Black Radio 3 by Robert Glasper. But then it gets weird. For example, here's a category called Recording Package. What's that? And here's one, another weird category. Let's see. Remixed Recording. Non-classical. They gave a Grammy for a remixed recording. Okay. Traditional pop vocal album, Higher by Michael Bublé. I believe they came up with that just so Michael Bublé could get an award. Best contemporary instrumental album, Empire Central, Snarky Puppy. And the best engineered album for classical. And then best contemporary classical composition, Contact by Kevin Putz. Well, it's bizarre. Best arrangement, instruments and vocals, Songbird, Vince Mendoza. Classical compendium is a category. What is a classical compendium? All right, it's Grammy night. I read you the big winners. Nothing else you have to worry about. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Ladies, if you're going to kill your abusive boyfriend, try to be less torturous and scary than this Florida woman. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I speak about the press and social media's effect on policing in America. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688 WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. All right, our last Florida story today is god awful. What we have here is the police show up, and the woman that called 911 answers the door. Her ex-husband is there, and her current husband is dead. So let's put together the pieces. Current husband, they had him laid out on the floor next to an open suitcase. The story is that her and the husband were playing around last night, playing hide and seek, and she bet that she could zip him in the suitcase. She zips him in the suitcase, and then she falls asleep, forgetting to let him out, and when she wakes up this morning, he's dead. Oopsie, it's an accident. So the cops take her in. They go through her phone, and what they find are some videos on her phone. And what really happened was this woman had been in an abusive relationship for years with this guy. And one day she had enough. And what she decided to do was talk him into getting in the suitcase. I don't know if she bet him or promised him something or whatever, but he got in the suitcase and she zipped it. Then she sat on the suitcase and next to the suitcase and made some selfie videos where you can hear the guy struggling. I am not going to play this audio because it is horrific and it will give you bad dreams. But he's saying, I can't breathe. Let me out of here. I'm sorry, baby. She says, you can't breathe? That's what it feels like when you were choking me. And so this 39-year-old Florida woman sat there and videoed the process by which her husband died slowly next to her. And I know most of Florida stories is like funny stuff, like someone has a 21-foot weenie parading through town, or this is god awful. Can you imagine a more horrific death? And then you kind of like, do you feel sorry for the guy? He had abused her for years. Of course, he didn't deserve to die like this. But this woman's just a stone cold Netflix feature waiting to happen. This is going to be like at least 4 to 6 episode feature.
The Orange County woman accused of killing her boyfriend by zipping him up into a suitcase was expected back in court today before her trial.
See, that's crazy. The dude on the radio is not just making stuff up. Boy, there are some really sick people out there. Like, I had some ex-girlfriends that I thought were pretty crazy, but not zip me up in a suitcase and make selfie videos mocking me as I die slowly and suffocate next to her. Crazy.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
WalterSterlingShow.com. It's a 3-hour show every single Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, and it is live. I am live as you're hearing this on KMOX, as you're hearing this on the radio. It's live. There's nothing else live at this time. This is it. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Not as amazing as listening to Ashley Benson discuss puberty.
Don't feel pressured to have sex in the moment with that person if you don't think it's the right person. You could never take away who you had sex with. Your number is just going to keep growing. You might really not like that person on that list. So be careful and know who you're having sex with and that you like them. And that also sex is about pleasure and not just for them, for you. So time.
That was good.
That was really good. I'm like, now I don't know how to follow up.
That was all about like the feels. And I was just like, get to the foreplay and the penis and the vagina.
You guys, I'm a mom. I'm like a boring mom. Yours was more fun.
888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday. Welcome. I'm Walter M. Sterling. There was a period of time when Nickelodeon was amazing. It had shows like iCarly. Remember iCarly? That was incredible.
Hey, calm down.
Never tell a girl to calm down. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
You know, most guys have to get married to suffer this kind of abuse.
And Victorious, another hot Nickelodeon show. Those were great, but the weirdest Nickelodeon show, the strangest Nickelodeon show, was called House of Anubis. Nobody talks about this. It was on for 3 seasons. And it was a mystery soap opera, gothic mystery soap opera, about surprisingly good-looking kids at boarding school. And the boarding school was the House of Anubis, where people disappeared. And it was run by strange people named, like, things like Victor.
So later on, Nina moves into her new room. She sets everything up, puts her wrinkly Harry Styles pictures up on the walls. You know what I'm talking about. But right then, we meet another main character, and things go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Joy, I've been...
Who are you?
I'm Nina. Good to meet you. I'm new, American, obviously.
Who cares?
None of these people had to worry about what they were going to wear to the Emmys. It was not going to be an issue in their lives. But House of Anubis was, it was strange because there was no way to follow the plot. The plot seemed to be about one of the girls disappeared the day that the new girl from America moved in. That carried them for 3 seasons. They also always had perfect hair. Their hair was amazing. Their makeup was breathtaking. These are the most attractive kids ever, and they didn't actually seem to ever study, and they didn't seem to stress over finals. There was no stress in their lives except finding people who had been murdered and how to get a key into the attic and a key into the basement where they were convinced all of the answers were. It was originally a Dutch show, and apparently the best version of House of Anubis seen on Nickelodeon was in Holland. And then it moved to Britain, and they made it in England, and there was a British version for a British Nickelodeon, and then it was brought here.
So later on, Nina moves into her new room. She sets everything up, puts her wrinkly Harry Styles pictures up on the walls. You know what I'm talking about. But right then, we meet another main character, and things go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Joy, I've been...
Who are you?
I'm Nina. Good to meet you. I'm new, American, obviously.
Who cares?
Who cares? That's every scene. At the end of every scene, I went, who cares? It was the weirdest Nickelodeon show. because it was clearly not made in America. It was not, there were no touch points to American pop culture. At the same time, there were no touch points to British pop culture, and it seemed to float in time. It was hard to know what was the time period this was made in. House of Anubis, The Mysteries of Nickelodeon. All right. Earlier, we did a hard-hitting report about which drive-thru had the best hot chocolate, Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts. And a brilliant producer named Dorothy Sabo at Citrus TV in Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York, conducted this, had her two anchors get in the car and do the drive-thru for Dunkin' Donuts and the drive-thru for Starbucks to determine who had the best hot chocolate. I thought for sure Starbucks was going to win. Well, they went through Starbucks, and that got a zero. They went through Dunkin' Donuts, and that only got a four. They both thought both of them were watery. They thought they were both watery. But then they decided which did have the best hot chocolate. Who had the best hot chocolate? I have put the answer up on Twitter. Walter M. Sterling. That's my account, Walter M. Sterling on Twitter. There's a picture of me holding up the box of the winning hot chocolate. And on a day like this, on a weekend like this, hot chocolate is very important. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about the current state of policing in America. I worked in a time and a place that doesn't seem recognizable now. A lot's changed since I retired from the New York City Police Department more than 15 years ago. The world's changed, and so have the people. There was a time when folks kept to themselves and minded their own business and kept their heads down, worked hard, and provided for their families. Now, they weren't looking for drama, instant fame, or a cash settlement from a lawsuit. New technology has shown how vain we all are. Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat have created a virtual reality that isn't necessarily real. In this alternative universe, we've become a reactionary society. People no longer think before they act. Now, the pilot light was lit in 1991 when a video depicted several cops beating Rodney King splashed across our television screens for months on end. A year later, when those were acquitted in the assault, the unhappy residents of Los Angeles took to the streets and burned down the neighborhoods to the ground. When it was all said and done, 63 people lost their lives with over $1 billion in property damages. Did all that destruction solve anything? I doubt that it did. When the smoke cleared, the very same unhappy people who rioted were still living in the same neighborhoods they burned down. Now, I understand the media has a job to do, and the job is to keep us informed. As a capitalist, I know they have to sell advertising time to pay their bills while keeping their shareholders happy. But what bothers me, though, is when the media manufactures the news as opposed to reporting it. It's that kind of dangerous behavior that's bled into the fabric of our society. Now everyone with a cell phone can play movie director, creating or framing an incident, conveniently editing or omitting facts to paint a portrait however they see fit. Instead of concentrating on their safety and doing their jobs, cops now have to think three steps ahead just in case someone is filming them. Imagine how you'd feel if someone followed you around with a camera. I feel bad for cops working in today's society. Every decision they make is made under a microscope. Now, during my 20-year career as working in law enforcement, I noticed a pattern. It was those who hated and complained about the police the most were often the very same people who called us regularly to solve their problems. Now, you can't have it both ways. If you despise the police, don't call them. Get a job, learn to behave, and get on with your life. Like I've said earlier, being a police officer is a job. Nothing more, nothing less. These brave men and women who selfishly decide to choose a career in law enforcement are the only ones that protect every single one of us from those who don't play by the rules of society. The day police officers in this country decide not to be proactive, look the other way, or stop doing their jobs, God have mercy on all of us. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
What did he say? He said, get a job, behave. I love it. We have to pull out that quote from Vic Ferrari's feature. We have to pull out that quote, and then I'll play it like after every call that we get. 888-688-WALT, Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday. It's a network show, which means that we go from Lobster Radio in Maine to Sacramento's KFBK. What an honor to be with you. Isn't this the best? Because here I am. I'm 14 inches away from this microphone. You're 14 inches away from the speaker. You're alone. I'm alone in the laundry room. You're alone in your 18-wheeler driving across Route 80. Going up 5. Going some weird way on Route 4, on I-4 in Florida. Never understood it. I-4 is marked east and west, but it runs north and south. Also, Florida is the only place that has rivers that go into the state rather than into the ocean. It's all set up very weird and suspicious. Now, if you want to join us as a misfit, if you don't belong, if you are the first person to be rejected from joining a country club, if you need to think alone, there's a horrible thing that's done to us. When we go to work, they love groupthink. They like to brainstorm. The fastest way to shut down my brain is to say, okay, we're going to brainstorm now. Let's sit in a room with everybody else and brainstorm. I will not come up with an idea. I need to take the problem, go to the back of the cave by myself, and solve it alone. That's how I solve problems. I solve them alone. Because we don't fit in. And I'm left-handed, and I have flat feet, and I have an accessory navicular bone. All of those things have separated me all my life. They would have kept me out of the Army, which is good, but they separate me. I was never picked for a team. It was worse than never being picked for a team. When it got to the end of all the kids being on teams, and no one was going to pick me at all, the gym teacher had to assign me to a team. What humiliation. What a horror that was. And there should be no phys ed or gym in school because that's why people get fat. They don't want to go to health clubs where they're an adult because of that trauma. There's a lot of yelling and screaming now about people coming into the country. Immigrants coming into the country. Oh my gosh. Daniel Day-Lewis gave the best speech ever about dealing with immigration.
But let it be known that the hand that tries to strike us from this land shall be swiftly cut down. Yeah! And may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery.
Prepare to receive the true Lord.
I suppose you want to hear that again.
But let it be known that the hand that tries to strike us from this land shall be swiftly cut down.
Then may the Christian Lord guide my hand against your Roman popery. Prepare to receive the true Lord.
Daniel Day-Lewis solving all of our immigration problems. It would mean a great deal to me to hear from you about what you like about this show and what you hate about the show. It would help me make a better show for you because, after all, ladies and gentlemen, these are public airways. This is your show. Oh, my gosh. My email address is waltermsterling@gmail. waltermsterling@gmail. And every email I get will be answered. And then if you want to find out about all the detail about the show, go to waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.